John chapter 16 this morning. We'll back up into chapter 15 just a little bit after a while. But I want to share with you a thought that I pray will encourage your heart the way that it has encouraged mine. The Bible said in verse number 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." If you'll look at verse number 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Another word for that tribulation there would be trouble. Trouble on every side, trouble on every hand. Job said it like this. He said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good singing this morning. And Lord, we thank you that there is a place called Glory Land, a place called heaven. And Lord, that is really this morning our home. Lord, we're strangers, we're pilgrims. Lord, as every day goes by, it seems like, Lord, the world is getting more and more strange to the child of God. Lord, I pray this morning that you would encourage our hearts, that you'd strengthen our hearts. Help us today, Lord, to glean truth that would cause us to want to leave here and live for you, walk with you, and Lord, represent you in a way in this world that others would know, Lord, that this world is not our home. I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen us, help us to preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I only have 2 points in the sermon this morning. Don't get real excited right there. There's several underneath them too. Amen. But I do have a little thought I want to share with you this morning about your sorrow shall be turned into joy. This passage has been coming really since John chapter 14 and verse number 1 when Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." How many of you at times have a heart that's troubled? How many of you at times you have some sorrow in your heart? And the Bible didn't tell us not to sorrow, but the Bible did tell us not to sorrow, even as others which have no hope. And so I believe this morning the Lord would say some things to us here that would help us in these days that we live in. The first thing I want to look at this morning is the reason for the sorrow. And just look at, there are many different reasons, but in the text, I see 4. The reason for the sorrow. If you back up into verse 25 of chapter 15, Jesus said, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." The first reason for the sorrow is hatred. Jesus is telling his disciples, "They hate me." Can I tell you, I believe there was a time in America when it was not as evident as it is today that people hate God, and they hate God's word, and they hate God's people. Let me show you some things. I believe you'll see it here with me in the text. There's hatred. There always has been, but it seems as if in Jesus' day it came to a head. It manifested itself. They couldn't stand him. They were losing control of their religious system. There was one that had come that didn't speak like they spoke. He spoke with authority. He spoke with power. He spoke with clarity. He never, my friend, spoke in a way, listen, that would cause you to wonder what he said. But he knew what to say and when to say it and how to say it. There was hatred. That's one of the reasons. The other is rejection. Look in chapter 16 and verse number 1. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. He's saying, listen, because of me, and because you stand with me, look at verse 2, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. He's saying, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. Can I say in the, Jesus is saying this and it's prophetical. He said, the time cometh. I believe even the life of the Apostle Paul is a picture of this. Paul was going down there to lock them up, put some more in prison, to kill the believer, the born again, the saved, even in the early church. But the Bible said here, they're going to think that they're doing God a service. Now listen, I'm going to say something right here. I believe in America a lot of men are afraid to say it. But I'm not afraid to say it because God put it in my heart. I'm telling you this morning that the religion of Islam is not a religion of peace. I'm telling you that they think that, listen, in their philosophy, in their religion, if you don't line up with them, you're an infidel. I got news for you this morning. I'm not an infidel. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a born-again child of God. And beloved, they're taught, they think that they're doing God a service when they kill the likes of you and I. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Read their book. That is what's going on, amen? In the name of religion. In the name of religion. So there's a reason for the sorrow. I want to ask you something. How do you think those four Marines' wives are feeling this morning? How do you think that naval officer, how do you think his wife and his mom and his dad and their children, how do you think they're feeling this morning? Because somebody in the name of an ungodly religion just wanted to pull up and take their lives. You say, preacher, you got no business preaching like that. I'm going to tell you something, honey. It's coming home faster than you've ever seen it in your life. And we need to speak out. It was in the days of Jesus. It was not the drunkard. The drunkard's not going to give us a problem. The prostitute's not going to give us a problem. It's the religious outfit in this world that hates the God of the Bible and hates the Bible we preach and hates you and I as well. Some are acting real timid. They're afraid to say anything about it. I'll tell you something I believe with all of my heart. John the Baptist wasn't afraid. Paul wasn't afraid. Jesus wasn't afraid. And my friend, you and I shouldn't be ashamed to stand up and say, we love the Lord. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. There's a reason for the sorrow. It's hatred. It's rejection. The Bible said in verse 3, and these things will they do unto you. Because they have not known the Father. You say, preacher, I don't understand why these things are going on. I tell you why, they don't know the Father and they don't know Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you know Jesus, my friend, listen, He puts a love in your heart. You don't want to kill somebody. You want to love them. Amen. You want to see them escape the region of the damned. I tell you, beloved, listen, they're being deceived. They're being promised, amen, that they've killed themselves. They'll go off and they'll get this and they'll get that. They'll promise them 10 virgins in a place of paradise. I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It seems like there's not a politician or a preacher anywhere that'll stand and say it's a lie. But that's what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus said there's a reason for the sorrow, hatred, rejection. The next thing I see in the reason for the sorrow is His departure. It's beginning to sink in on Him now. That we're no longer going to be walking with Him and talking with Him. He's leaving us. I'm going to tell you something right now. The thought of my earthly father leaving me brings great sorrow in my heart.
But Brother John, if you and I could walk with Jesus about a month or two and see what he did, listen to what he taught, and then all of a sudden, like the disciples find out, he's leaving us. Oh, dear God, that would hurt. Amen. There would be sorrow. He's departing, Brother Gale. He's going to leave them. He's going to go back to the Father. Amen. They don't understand. So the reason for the sorrow is found in the hatred. It's found in the rejection. In verse number 4 through verse number 6 here, it's found in his departure. The Bible said, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Let me just say this morning. I feel compelled to say it. Not one of them boys looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, my heart is full of sorrow. He just knew it. Can I tell you, as God's dear people this morning, we don't have to say, Lord, my heart's full of sorrow. He already knows it. Amen to God. And I thank my God in heaven that he's ready, amen, to take that sorrow and turn it into joy. It's what he does. There's a reason. The hatred's the reason for the sorrow, the rejection, the departure. And then in verse number 32, they would be scattered. Now listen to me this morning. I didn't plan on saying this. Let me just read the verse first of all. Look at verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now come, and ye shall be scattered. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You hear me well right here. You just take our group, Bible Way. You want this preacher's heart to be full of sorrow? You let something happen just cause them to be scattered. See, not only are they separated from their Lord and their Savior, he's leaving them. That's causing sorrow. Now the group that's left behind, Jesus said, y'all are going to be scattered. You're going to be scattered. That means Peter and John ain't going to be walking together. Amen. That means, my friend, listen, that they're going to be scattered. Jesus told them, listen, they were going to go to Jerusalem. They were going to be endued with power. But listen, they weren't going to stay there. And I believe with all my heart they would have stayed there. But the Lord sent persecution to scatter them out all over the globe and get the gospel out around the world. They were going to be scattered. We're going to be scattered. I just see in those four things the reason for the sorrow. Hatred, rejection, departure, and they were scattered. I want you to see now in the second part of the message the turning of the sorrow. What is it that turns the sorrow, turns it around, turns it into joy? I didn't mean to say this morning, but the thought just come to my heart. I mean, Joseph was a man. He was human. Don't you reckon at least at some point in time down in that prison, his heart must have sank down a little bit? But don't you reckon when he got out of prison and he got up there in the palace and he's up there now with Pharaoh and things are going well and God, he's interpreted Pharaoh's dream and they're getting ready for the famine. Don't you reckon at times he thought about his family? Don't you reckon at times that there was some sorrow in his heart, thinking about his daddy and thinking about his brethren? Don't you reckon at times, my friend, that he thought, boy, how good it would be to see dad again, and how good it would be, listen, to see my brothers again? You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. Hallelujah. One day they loaded up, amen, needed some corn, and they went up there where Joseph was. And you know what my heavenly Father did? He took sorrow and turned it into joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He saved a whole nation, amen, through the life of Joseph. What a blessing. Listen, what we need to remember in the midst of our sorrow is that it this sorrow is not final. Remember that. It's not final. It's not final. The turning of the sorrow. I want to give you some things here. If you look at chapter 16 and verse number 20, the Bible said here, "Verily I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." In verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." I want you to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in turning this sorrow into joy. I have three things here that I want us to look at this morning. First of all, I want you to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a goad. A goad. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand why you would use that word." Turn with me back in your Bibles, please, to the book of Judges, chapter number 3 and verse number 31. Listen to what the Bible said here in Judges 3 and verse number 31. "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel." I'll give you in a moment why I'm using the term goad. The Bible said here in 1 Samuel 13 and verse number 21. 1 Samuel 13 and verse number 21. Listen to what the Bible said. "Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads." A goad was a stick, if you please, about 8 foot long. I was in the woods the other day and I had a little handsaw. And I was preparing for the hunting season that was coming up. And so I needed to trim some branches off of a limb, but I couldn't reach them. And so what I did is I cut a sapling and then I taped the saw to the end of the sapling and reached up there and cut the limb off. In other words, I picture in my mind like a piece of a sapling about 2 to 3 inches round, about 8 foot long. And many of the goads in that day had metal that was attached to the end of it. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament about the file that was used to sharpen the goad. You see, the goad was used to prod the ox, to get the ox to work. Amen. But the goad was also used for defense. And Shamgar had killed those Philistines with that goad. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand and I don't see that in chapter number 16. Let me help you see it. Look here in verse number 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." You say, "Preacher, I don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a goad." Let me tell you, there was a day when you and I were sitting there, lost without God, dead in our trespasses and sin. And the precious Holy Spirit came to where we were and he punched us. He woke us up. Say amen. Thank God. He didn't just punch us, but he penetrated us. He went on down into that heart and he showed us, my friend, the righteousness of God. He showed us the sinfulness of man and he showed us the judgment that we were headed to. And that's the only reason we got saved. It's because the Spirit of God came to where we were and prodded us and poked at us and would not leave us alone. Amen. I believe this morning it's a dangerous thing. We're living in a generation, my friend, listen, it don't matter if you're chewing your gum and popping your jaws, amen, and grinning from ear to ear. I tell you, when the goad of the Holy Ghost comes by, you'll stop, my friend, your little grin. I'm telling you, it'll break your heart because you've sinned against the God of heaven and you realize where you're going. You're going to an awful place called hell. I see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a goad, prodding, pricking. That's what happened to Paul. God pricked his heart. Say amen. That's why they called Stephen. That's why they stoned Stephen. It's because, my friend, Stephen was calling on God as he died. But they stoned him because Stephen preached the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost took the Word of God and pricked them in their hearts. And they could not deal with the truth of God's Word. I'll tell you this morning, I see the turning. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with turning sorrow into joy. I want you to just think about something. I don't know if you were at home. I don't know if you were in church. I don't know if you were in a cottage prayer meeting. I don't know if you were in a tent meeting. I don't know where you were when God saved you. But I tell you what, I guarantee you that it was sorrow to start with. And it was joy when he got done. Say amen. What do you mean, preacher? Oh, I tell you, that night I stood up off the pew. I motioned for my preacher to come down. He came down and I said, preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. He said, Rick, are you sure the devil don't have you tripped up and deceived? I said, I've been deceived for 27 years. You say, preacher, why'd you stand up? Because something's stuck down in my heart. The Holy Ghost dealt with me. And I tell you, my friend, I was standing there weeping and they were tears of sorrow and tears of brokenness. But I tell you, when I got up out of that altar, it was no longer tears of sorrow. It was tears of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He had lifted that burden from my soul. Oh, bless his name. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. I tell you something this morning. That gold is sharp. The Bible talked about the Word of God is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. And by the way, let me just say this. Holy Ghost ain't going to use anything else. He's going to use that sharp, two-edged sword. That's why the God said by he chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. My friend, somebody had to give you the Scripture. That's how you understood you was a sinner. That's how you understood he was the Savior. That's how you understood that hell was where you was headed without God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not only is that goad sharp, but it was long. It was long. You say, preacher, I just think I'm so far away from God that he can't reach me. You're wrong. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. There's a God in heaven. I like the song that said God reached way below the bottom for me that night. I don't know where the bottom is, but I was below that. Amen. I'm telling you, he can reach you where you are. He loves you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit as a goad in salvation. But watch this. The ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide in sanctification. Look here in verse number 12 and verse number 13. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Let me tell you something that a preacher needs to learn. Let me tell you something, especially a pastor needs to learn. Sometimes you put truth out there, and sometimes people just move right to it. And other times they don't. And what we need to learn is this. The ministry of sanctification is not the ministry of the pastor. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is talking to his own disciples and he said, hey, you can't bear it right now. Amen. You're just not ready for it. Amen. I tell you, listen to me. The message is about sorrow being turned into joy. I'm telling you, there's a lot of God's people that don't have joy because they refuse to move in the direction that God is leading them. But when they do, God will give them joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. You see, you can't sit and watch that movie where they're taking his name in vain and have the joy of the Lord at the same time. But when you decide one day, I'm going to give that crazy Hollywood, it's really Hollywood, somebody help me, amen. I'm going to give that mess up. Then you can have some joy. When you go back and you begin like David to make things right that were wrong. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide. Listen to me. I love this statement. It's not mine originally. I don't know where I heard it. But the Lord loves you. He will take you just like you are. He'll save you. But He loves you way too much to leave you just like you are. When He saves you, He begins to work and to will of His own good pleasure. And I'm telling you that the believer that is cooperating with the ministry of sanctification, the ministry as a guide of the Holy Ghost, is the joyful believer. But when we begin to kick against Him, there goes our joy. There goes our joy. David lost his joy, and he was a man after God's own heart. I would never put myself on that plane, but I would tell you this. Since I've been saved, there have been many times I've lost my joy. And I've often said this. People say, well, the devil stole my joy. I really don't believe that. I believe every born-again believer just trades his joy for something else. Amen. And I tell you, when you get it back is when you realize you've been burnt. Amen. And you get before God. Amen. You ask God to forgive you. And there ain't nothing. Let me tell you something. If you've ever had the joy of God in your soul, nothing else will ever satisfy. This world has nothing to satisfy. There's no replacement. Men and women, boys and girls are dying, going to hell all around us because we don't have the joy of God on our life. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Well, I tell you what, it'd be a blessing next Saturday morning. Some of you have never been. It'd be a blessing if you showed up and went with us. Be a blessing if you showed up and went out into the community and had a smile and had some joy. Just be glad to have a little corner of God's vineyard to work in. Just be able to tell somebody that you love the Lord. Just be able to invite somebody to the house of God. I'm telling you, listen, you can have some joy that comes with obedience to the Word of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Brother Grizzle, through the years, some of the happiest people I've ever met in this world were missionaries. You know why? They laid it all down. They took houses, lands, hobbies, everything that they had. They just laid it at the foot of Jesus. Said, Lord, if it's some dark country down yonder, over yonder, amen. Let me tell you something. We're living in a dark country right here now. But some of the happiest people, the most joyful people I've ever met in my life, are people that have just fully surrendered to the will of God for their. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just prick us when we're unsaved and goad us when we're unsaved. But thank God when we get saved, He guides us. Watch what the Bible said. I have many things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them. I don't know if you've learned this or not. But children grow at different rates. Not every child walks at a year old. Not every child talks. I can't wait for Olivia to talk. I've been telling her for 7 months. I mean, how beautiful she is and how the Lord loves her and how Papa loves her. And I can't wait for her to look up at me when I say, honey, you're gorgeous, and say, I know. Amen. I can't wait till she can talk, amen, and convey to me what's in that little heart of hers. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God's people all grow at different rates. And sometimes I think, listen, moms, dads, Sunday school teachers, pastors, I think we're all guilty of thinking everybody ought to just come right now to where I am. When the fact is, we're not where we ought to be. Help me. Help me. I believe the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry that guides us, a ministry of sanctification. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Look here. The Bible said here, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if we lay our Bible down, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we lay our Bible down, what we're telling the blessed Holy Ghost is, I'm not interested in your ministry of sanctification in my life. But when we pick our Bible up, we're saying, Lord, I'm going through a world here. And I don't know the way. Would you show me the way through this wilderness? Would you help me? I can only imagine. We've got young'uns in this church. I'm not going to name names, but we've got young'uns in this church that's going from middle school into high school. It's a different ballgame. We've got young'uns that's going from high school into college, and it's a different ballgame. And I'm going to tell you, listen, the wise young'uns will get on their knees and say, God, it's a wilderness, and I can't find my way. But Lord, if you'll guide me, if you'll guide me, God, if you'll just guide me. You don't have to ask him to guide you for the rest of your life. Just say, Lord, guide me for this day. And when you get up another day, God, guide me another day. Guide me another day. If we would just call on God and ask him to lead us and guide us. He said, into all truth. That's where he got us. So we ought to get in the Bible. The ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide and sanctification will turn sorrow to joy. Watch what he said here. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I'm not going to run this rabbit far. But you beware of those churches and those meetings where all that's talked about is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't magnify himself. He don't talk about himself. He don't even magnify his gifts. Somebody help me right there. But the Holy Ghost, my friend, will magnify the Lord. He's always lifting up Jesus. He's always, listen, he told us he's magnified his word even above his name. Oh, praise the Lord for the ministry of sanctification. The little children's song, and I think the adults ought to sing it. He's still working on me to make me. Mama didn't say ought. Mama said ort. Make me what I ought to be. I mean, y'all knows what that means. Amen. I tell you, we need him to make us what we ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. And I want to magnify this line in the song. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Sister Gladys, you're one of the charter members here. He's still working on you, ain't he, honey? She realizes she ain't there yet. Oh, bless his name. Brother Gale, faithful to come. Brother Earl, faithful. Men, senior men, way up in years, and God's not finished with them. He's still working in their lives. Hallelujah. For the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the last thing. It'll turn sorrow to joy when he ministers as a goad in salvation, when he ministers as a guide in sanctification. But I want you to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify. And I got three little things right here real quickly. Look at verse number 14 and 15. Jesus said, he. Now wait a minute. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but who's that talking about when he said he? He, the Holy Spirit. Just as much a person of the Godhead as God the Father and God the Son. He, watch what he said now, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All these things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. I see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a goad, the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide. But I see the ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify. Number one, he glorifies the Son in revelation, revealing the Son to you and to me. Now that Son is not the S-U-N, that's the S-O-N, Jesus. Revealing the Son. Can I tell you? There's nothing wrong in this generation that one look at the Son couldn't fix. If we could just see Jesus. If we could just get our eyes on Jesus. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify the Son in revelation, the Lord Jesus. But not only in revelation, but in redemption. I'm not going to read all the verses, but Jesus said a little while, I'm going to go to my Father in verse number 16. He said here in verse number 19, a little while and you shall not see me again. A little while and you shall see me. What's he talking about there? I tell you what he's talking about. Boys, I'm going to die. Boys, I'm going to be buried. But boys, I'm going to get up the third day. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify the Son, not only to reveal Him in the revelation, but for redemption. That is the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And then, no less important, and I close with this, is the ministry of requisition. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 23. Jesus said, in that day, let me read verse 22. And now you therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. I can't. Going to visit with my dad's bringing back memories of going to visit with my grandpa. I can't forget when I went to see my grandpa the last time. My grandmother was sitting at the foot of the bed. And I didn't even think about this till I read that line just now. Jesus said, I'll see you again. That's what he said. He said, I'll see you again. I went to visit with my grandpa, and I prayed with my grandpa, and I reached over to the bed, and I kissed my grandpa on the forehead. And I said, Grandpa, I'll see you later. My grandmother's shoulders started shrugging up and down. She was weeping uncontrollably. She said, Rick, honey, aren't you going to tell him bye? She acted like maybe I didn't know the severity of the situation and that he just had a few hours to live. I looked at my grandmother and I said, Granny, I didn't call her grandmother. I didn't call her Nana. I called her Granny. That's what everybody called Granny. Granny. I said, Granny, I don't have to tell him bye. I know where he's headed. I'm headed to the same place. I said, that's why I said, I'll see you later. I tell you, Jesus is telling these boys, boys, yes, I'm going to leave you. I have to leave you so the Holy Ghost can come. Amen. But boys, that's not going to be the last of me. You're going to see me again in the glorification that's going to take place. Let me say this to you. I'm not being critical. But if that truth don't cause something to flip over in your heart, you're in bad shape. I mean, realizing that one day we're going to awake in His likeness, have a body like unto the Son of God, have a mind like unto the Son of God, be living with the Son of God. I'm telling you, be living with the saints of God. If that thought, the thought of glorification, doesn't stir you up, you're in bad shape this morning because He's coming. You say, preacher, how long is it going to take? Well, I can't really explain the length of time. But the Bible said, a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. That's how fast I'm going to be changed and be in His likeness. I got up this morning and put on a suit. But the next time you see me, I may not be wearing a suit. I may be wearing a robe. Amen. Bless His name. Watch what the Bible said here. The minister of requisition. We have one we can talk to. He said in verse 23, in that day you shall ask nothing. Ask me nothing. In verse 22, he said, I'll see you again. Verse 23, he said, that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Jesus is saying, boys, things are going to change up a little bit. Now you ask me when you need something. But listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise again. I'm going to go back and sit at the right hand of God the Father. The book of Hebrews teaches us to make intercession for you. And he said, in that day, you're going to ask the Father. You're going to pray something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You're going to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. I mean, whoever thought in America, whoever thought in America, it would become against the law to pray in the name of Jesus. I like what they did. I saw this. Somebody showed it to me on a video. I like what they did at one of the graduations where they determined they weren't allowed to say God. And they kind of made this up, and that the person giving the speech would sneeze. And the whole class at one time would say, God bless you. Hallelujah. I thought that's pretty smart. Amen. Yeah. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen. You know what I bet? Well, I shouldn't bet. But you know what I bet? I bet some of the faculty did too. I bet they said, God bless you, right along with the rest of them. Amen. I guarantee you this, when they wrap their car around the telephone pole, they'll holler, God help us. He's not dead. He's coming. Coming for you. He said, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. The time cometh, I'll no more speak in Proverbs. I'll show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say unto you that I will pray the Father. Brother Rose, what's that mean to you this morning? That when you got up and prayed this morning, maybe there was some things you forgot. But we got one sitting there and said, Father. In other words, sometimes the best praying we ever do is when we can't get a word out anyway. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. What does it mean to you this morning to know that you have somebody sitting at the right hand of the God of the universe that's praying for you? John 17, he said, neither pray I for these alone. He's praying to the Father. He said, but I pray for all them who through these shall believe. I'm glad this morning I have an intercessor. Thank God this morning your sorrow shall be turned into joy. The reason for the sorrow, but the turning of the sorrow. There is no turning of the sorrow apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. His ministry as a goad. How many remembers when you was asleep, dead in your trespasses and sin, and he poked you? How many remember that? Oh, hallelujah. You may have come to him, but it was not until after he came to you. I like what the songwriter said. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. The ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide. No telling where I'd be today if it weren't for his ability through the Word of God. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't be here. If it weren't for the ability of the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and lead me and guide me, I don't know where I would be, but I know I wouldn't be here. Oh, I thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a guide. Then I thank God. Then the final, in the end, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify. You ain't seen nothing yet. That might not be good English, but honey, you just wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its glory there Nothing down here can compare. Wait till you see my brand new home. What a blessing. What a blessing. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Brother John, if you and Miss Beck, you'll get this song ready, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you for the ministry, God of the Holy Spirit. He turned sorrow into joy. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you loved your disciples. And in these last days, as we're reading here, when you were with them, you were preparing them for your departure. You were preparing them for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Lord, when he wouldn't just come upon someone and empower them and leave, but when he would come and seal us to the day of redemption and help us along life's way. I pray, dear God, this morning, you'd do your office work in this meeting.